Read a portion of scripture from Luke 1, verses 5 through 25. You can just follow along on the screen. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless.
Excuse me. After spending 9 months speechless, I'd like to at least tell a story for myself. I am Zacharias. Zacharias, you may confuse me with some of the other great people in our Lord's Scripture. Maybe the son of Jehoshaphat that was killed by his own brother to keep him from going to the throne. Or maybe you thought of Zacharias, who was the prophet who worked with Israel to help them rebuild the temple after they had been put in Babylon for so long. Zacharias. Why, there's over 30 different individuals by that name. It's a good name. It means the Lord remembers. I'm a priest. Not a full-time priest, for there's 18,000 priests that are used now. Things are different since the Roman government has taken over. Not like when Aaron had put together the priesthood under God's direction. Our clothing is different, the way we do things a little bit different, how the high priest is selected in more of a political way instead of as a way of showing the line of Aaron. But I'm just a priest. A priest that's on call and comes in on various times to do the duty to please my God. I'm married to a woman by the name of Elizabeth. Elizabeth is a daughter of a priest. And a very fine woman. One of the things, though, that Elizabeth has to carry with her is the reality that she could not have a baby. The Lord remembers Zacharias. When you don't have a baby to pass on the great remembrance of God, what are you to do? When it's your sole belief that God blesses and passes on from generation to generation, and you're unable to do that, can you really understand what is going on in the hearts of those? One day, I was called to go and do my service in Jerusalem. And while in Jerusalem, the lot fell upon me to go into the holy place and to take with me the censer. And that censer was to come in and give incense unto the Lord, prayers up unto our God. Oh, did we understand prayer? Elizabeth and I, over and again, pray, God, would you be able to open her womb and allow her to be like Sarah, to have a child, or like Rebecca, or Rachel, or Hannah? But we pray, and we pray. But this day I was in the one time, chance of a lifetime, to be alone with God in that temple. But my prayer wasn't to be for myself, no. When you go in to put incense on the altar, it's a prayer for all of Israel. That salvation may come. That the Messiah might come. That he might fulfill the promises. And that he might remember his people. And as I was in the temple, at the place that was the closest as you could be to the holiest holies, aside from when the high priest could go in once a year, I was there putting the incense on the altar. And as the odor goes up as a sweet-smelling sacrifice to our God, in that time when it's be alone with God, I was not alone. For something else was there with me, and it startled me, and beside the altar was this great figure. Was it a person? He said, do not be afraid. I'm going, well, you're too late for that. You give a guy a heart attack in here, I'm all by myself, and he comes in here and says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, for your prayers have been answered. Which prayers? The prayers that I've agonized with my wife Elizabeth for years, or the prayers for the people of Israel? Possibly both. For he said that there would be born to my wife, to my Elizabeth, that she would have a baby, and that she would call his name John. John. Meaning that the Lord is gracious. Oh, if we were to have a child, that would be a gracious God. For we're both very old. And did not expect something like that. But his name would be John, and not only would he be a boy that we could have, but he would have an impact in all the world, that people would rejoice at what he did in this world. And not would he only would they rejoice, but he would be the special one, that the Holy Spirit would be upon him. He'd be separated unto God. He said that he would be like Elijah. Do you know who Elijah is? Could you imagine raising an Elijah? One who calls down fire? Pick up your room. Oh, no. One who prays and it doesn't rain for 3 years. One who flies around in chariots in the sky. This is going to be my John? Oh. But he would be a forerunner, one who would announce our Lord and the great peace and the great joy. Oh, all these thoughts were not possible to create in the split second that this announcement was given. For all I could think of were the years and years of not having a child. So when the angel told me of these great blessings that would come as a result of this John, all I could say is, how could I know this? How could I experience this? No way would this happen for me and my Elizabeth. For we are old. We are past the age, and she is unable to have a child. Can I give you a word of advice? If an angel comes to you and gives you a proclamation of what God's going to do, don't respond that way. Nope. You know, I thought through this. I've had plenty of times to think it over. But I thought what I should have said was, cool, wow. Or something like that. Or behold. But I don't say, how am I going to see this? Because he said it would come to pass regardless of what I thought. But during the whole time of my wife carrying this baby John, until she was delivering and accomplishing God's plan, I would be speechless. And that's not just out of excitement. I mean, I literally would not be speaking. And I would not be able to say a word. And from that point that that angel made that comment, my voice shut down. And no matter how hard I tried, there was no voice to come from me. Folks, I had just received the most exciting news I had ever received in my life and couldn't share it with anyone. Oh, frustration upon frustration. Can I just encourage you? After spending 9 months of going without being able to talk, using hand signals and writing things out and all these types of things, can I encourage you to talk with your loved ones? Take time to talk with people. Take time to communicate with them. For if it ever happens where you can't, it's such a thing to be missed. But for 9 months I had the opportunity to think and dwell upon that which was told to me by this angel. About how this John would come. And how he would be like Elijah. And think about how he might fulfill the promises of God. To be the one to introduce our Lord. Thinking about what the role of my responsibility as a priest to represent people before God. To bring those sacrifices in on a regular basis. And to wonder, what will it take to bridge that gap between God and His people? And could God use my son as a part of that great plan? The reason that I was unable to speak is because of the doubt I had in God. Doubt is a terrible thing to have in your life. When God wants to work some special miracles and we're saying, well, how can this be? I am glad. I am glad that God only took my voice. That He allowed my eyes to see the joy in my wife's eyes and to hear the joy in her voice when she did finally conceive and was prepared to have a baby. Oh, I couldn't tell her about it. Oh, what a frustration. After I finished my time there in Jerusalem and came home, first thing she asked me, so how did it go? Anything new? What's the news? And I'm like, she thought I was just being a little weird. But I couldn't tell her. I tried to express to her. But after time, we learned to communicate with each other. And the joy of being able to hear her rejoice and to see her excitement was great. But you know, sometimes our unbelief has greater cost than that. Can I encourage you to believe in your God? To believe in what He says about a relationship with Him. That you not have doubt. For me, it cost me my voice. For you, it may cost you your life. Maybe even your eternity. So I encourage you to trust God in what He says. That He will do what He says. For our God remembers. And our God, He is gracious. Time went on, and our cousin Mary came to visit. Of course, Elizabeth, she was so excited about having a baby going to be in our own family. But you know, after all the years of embarrassment, and now to be found with child and to be showing, she wanted to hide. Didn't want anybody else to know about it, but Mary, she came to live with us for a little while. And as she came, she approached my wife, and something miraculous happened. This babe within the womb of my wife jumped. Not just one of these little kicks, you know. I mean, jumped within the womb. And my Elizabeth, she prophesied, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And how should we be blessed to have the mother of our Lord to be with us? What was my dear Elizabeth saying? What was she attributing to that which was in the body of this little Mary? What was she saying? Our Lord, there is only one Lord. There is only one God. And then to hear Mary break out in song, "My soul doth magnify the Lord," and how that she was His handmaiden. And what a blessing. Some of these things I just didn't understand. What was going to happen? And how was my little boy John going to fit in all of this? Well, time went on. That exciting sound of the baby crying. Oh, I've heard that over and again for others. But to hear it for my own Elizabeth, and to realize the joy and prayers have been answered after so many years. But comfort in my heart, and I still could not shout for joy. Oh, still mute and unable to speak, all I could do was just... Can't even go around and talk about as a proud papa. 8 days later, at the time to name our son, we went and had a big ceremony, and of course I still can't talk, so they're all talking to Elizabeth about what to do, and they want to know what the name should be. And as they come to her, they say, "Well, what is his name?" And she said, "John." Now, John was a good name, very popular back then, but there was no one in our family by that name. And they were telling her, "You should name him Zacharias. Zacharias Jr." And so they came to me because Elizabeth was so adamant. And they made motions to me, or they talked to me, and I made motions to them. And I called for something to write on, and I wrote, "His name is John. The Lord is gracious." And just as I put that last little letter on his name, my tongue became loosed. And I was able to speak. And I mean to tell you, I started making up for lost time. I hadn't been able to speak for over 9 months. And now I was able, and I'm here with my little 8-day-year-old son. And woo, yeah! Tell everybody who would listen, even those who wouldn't. The great way of how the Lord remembered Zacharias, John. Great gift from God. God is gracious. And then the Lord came upon me. And He allowed me to prophesy. And these words have been written down. And they are this: "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited and redeemed His people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David. As He spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember," God remembers, "His holy covenant, the oath that He swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life." And then I turned to the child, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. And you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation to His people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the dayspring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. God had provided, God had remembered, and at this time in history, no one could ever have realized what was taking place as that little baby was born. Life wasn't what I expected. No balls of fire from heaven. No chariot riding in the sky. But John was indeed different. He became very reclusive and on his own. Very determined and separated unto his God. Burning with desire to do that which God had set him to do. In the meantime, Mary did have that baby. Wonderful story that is. You'll have to read it sometime. But that baby, who would be related to my son John, grew up just as my son did. And they met. It was one of those days. John had been down by the river. Oh, he was a fiery one, he was. Dressed kind of unusual for most people his age. And interesting diet, but you know, that's my John. But he was calling out to the people, "Repent!" Well, he was really letting them know that they had to change their ways. Repent and be baptized. And they were coming down to him as they recognized that they had gone the wrong way. That through the time when the last prophets had been here, that 400 some years, that God's people had become so cold and hardened and unreceptive. And there's my son John, and telling people to repent and prepare their hearts. For one is coming, one whom baptizes with the Spirit, that although my son John might be baptizing them with the water, that the one who would come would be one he would not be able to fasten or unfasten the latchets upon his own shoe. A great one that would be coming. And on that day, he saw this Jesus. And he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, follow Him." My John had quite a following. Many people had come to hear him preach. He was a good preacher, by the way. And he was able to tell people how they needed to change their lives. And now he was taking, and he was taking his followers, and he was saying, "Follow Him." And transferring over to this man, Jesus, who was his cousin. That special day when my son baptized Jesus. And when Jesus came out of the water, the words from up in heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I never would have dreamt the impact of the ministry of my child. Can I encourage you to not underestimate what God might do? Oh, maybe He's not going to visit you while you're doing the incense thing in the temple. Maybe He's not going to have you have a baby right now for some of you. But maybe He has something for you that He has planned, that He is going to use you in a great way. That maybe you may not be the one who is center stage, but you may have a very important part in all His plan. And now that my son would decrease, that the Lord might increase. And how that should be so in each of our lives. That we might realize in our lives that we must take and decrease so that God could be more powerful within us. So that more can happen when we lay our lives down. When we make our bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto Him. As I think of those various sacrifices that I did day in, day out, and what little meaning that had. But now I understand that to sacrifice is to give, and to give our lives unto God. My son John did just that, and was used of God in a mighty way. Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Do you know that Lamb? Have you placed your faith in this man, Jesus Christ? From what I understand, He is the Son of God. Way back when Elizabeth prophesied, the mother of my Lord, that within her womb was God. God, come down from heaven to desire to be with His own people, that He might be able to give His life, that we might have eternal life. That Lamb went on the sacrifice. He died on the cross to give His life a ransom. That He might be the ultimate sacrifice, that we might have eternal life. If you have never trusted that and believed in that, embraced it as your own story. If you had doubt, like I had doubt, you won't lose your voice. You'll lose a chance for all eternity. To spend forever and ever and ever with God. So be sure to understand Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins that you might be able to have those sins taken care of and that you might be white as snow. White as snow. White as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Father, we thank You for this time You've given to us to look at this life of one who really is very obscure in all the Christmas story. But yet the name of Zacharias reminds us that we ought to be praying and devoting our life to You. For You are one who remembers. Father, for the man Zacharias reminds us that our prayers should not be hindered. That we ought to have a quiet worship time with You. And the sweet smelling sacrifice of our prayers ought to come up to You. Father, this man Zacharias reminds us that indeed we should believe and not doubt. And Father, this man Zacharias reminds us that You are indeed a God who is gracious. And as You had restored to him his great opportunity to speak and to praise You, You will restore unto us the joy of our salvation if we should doubt You. And that if we should be willing to take one step towards You, Father, You will take a step towards us. As we draw near to You, You will draw near to us. And Father, I pray that we might understand that amongst this Christmas story and all the wrappings, that the reality is this, that Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was prophesied in the Old Testament, who was introduced by John the Baptist, who died on the cross, is indeed our Savior. And Father, I pray as we close our time, that You allow us to think about the fact that we are indeed white as snow. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.